Thank you, choir. I hope that you're looking forward to tonight and planning to be here and bringing folks with you as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, and our choir shares the Christmas message with us in song. I look forward to it as always. This morning we continue our study through the book of Romans together. We're in the middle of Romans chapter 10, verse 5 through 12 is our text. Brother George read it for us this morning. Remember, as we got into chapter 10 last week, chapter 10 begins with Paul's passionate prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. The majority of the people of Israel had rejected the message of God. They were lost, and it all boiled down to the ignorance of their unbelief. Christ had been revealed as their Savior. It wasn't that they hadn't had opportunity. It wasn't that they'd not been told. Christ had come. He had came in fulfillment of the promises of God to Israel for a Messiah and a Savior of sinners, and yet they had rejected Him. They were ignorantly zealous of God. They were ignorantly unrighteous before God, as we saw last week, because they were still seeking to obtain God's righteousness by their works and their deeds and their keeping the laws of God that had been given through Moses, rather than submitting to the righteousness of God by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who came as the Savior of sinners. They had rejected that, and therefore they were lost in the ignorance of their unbelief. Basically, they were still traveling that broad road that many, many are traveling today, a road that leads to destruction. Rather than finding that narrow road, that road less traveled, that brings us to life and salvation. And it's the road of faith in Christ. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14? He said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus had came. He had revealed the way. He called upon all in faith to follow Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, He said in John 14, verse 6. Yet they had rejected that way. They were still traveling this broad way that many travel rather than finding that narrow way that few are traveling that leads to life. Folks, this morning, the way of faith in Christ is a road less traveled. But it is the only way for sinners to be saved. This morning, I want to speak to you on this subject from this text, the road less traveled, and what this text clearly tells us about how we can find and follow that way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, as always, we thank You for the privilege that we have to worship You, and we thank You for Your presence that we have here in our midst this morning. Father, thank You for the joy of the Christmas season, the joy of salvation. And Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word and the power of Your Holy Spirit to encourage us, to nourish us, to strengthen us. Lord, even to convict us and to convert us as sinners. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have to look into Your Word this morning and to see the road less traveled and how to find it and how to follow it to salvation. Father, I pray that every hindering force of the world, the flesh, and the devil would be held back from this place this morning. I pray You'd cleanse our hearts and clear our minds, that, Father, we would be still, we would be quiet and silent in our hearts and our spirits, and that, Father, we would be open to Your Word and Your Spirit, God, in our lives as Christians. Lord, today may we be strengthened in our faith and better equipped to be a witness for You for the lost today. May today be the day that the scales of sin and the strongholds of religion are pulled down from our eyes and hearts, that we might see and believe and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. God, may someone come to know You today. God, may our hearts and homes be thrilled with the joy of Jesus this Christmas season, that we'll lift You up in the coming days and many will come to know You through it. Father, as a messenger, as always, I pray that You'd hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, free me to preach Your Word. Guard my tongue and lips. Help me to preach Your truth. And Lord, we know it's Your truth that sets us free. Father, we'll just be careful to give You the praise and honor and glory for what You accomplish here this morning through Your Word. For we ask it all, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we concluded in verse 4, says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." In that ignorance of unbelief, Paul declared there in verse 4, we saw it last week, the only deliverance from the ignorance of unbelief is the way of faith. It is trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The majority of Jews, of the Israelites, they were lost. They had rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But they could be saved. See, that's why Paul was passionate for them. That's why he preached to them, the individual Jews and Gentiles alike. That's why he was praying to God for Israel to be saved, because they could be saved. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He's already told us in chapter 1. It's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believes. This way of salvation, it is the way of faith. It's a way of faith and trusting in Jesus Christ. It's a narrow way, yes. It is a road less traveled, but it can be found. It is accessible. It is available to every sinner today through the good news of the gospel. And so in verse 4, as he's declaring that truth, he's literally unpacking it for us in our text of what he means and what he's saying in verse 4. This broad way that many are traveling, the way these ignorant Jews and many today ignorantly are trying to obtain righteousness by their works and their good deeds. This broad way, there is salvation. There is a way of salvation. There is a way to be saved. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. It is the way of faith. It is believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that brings to an end the impossible task of our imperfect attempts to try to make ourselves right with God through our works. And the glorious truth is, this way of faith, it enables us to receive this indescribable gift, God's righteousness, the salvation of our souls. Paul says it's an inexpressible gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible, indescribable gift. It is the gift of God's grace, the gift of God's righteousness that comes to us through faith in the Lord Jesus. And yet this way of faith is a road less traveled. And yet it's the only way of salvation for sinners. Folks, that's why Paul passionately prayed and preached to the lost. That's why we as God's people today, those who've been saved, folks, we are to be passionate for the lost. We are to pray for their souls. We are to preach to them the good news through our witness, through our life, that Jesus is our Savior, that many may hear, believe, and be saved. Yes, it's a road less traveled, But it's the only road that leads to salvation. Having been revealed as Savior, Christ must be received as Savior. And the only way for Him to be received is the good news of His coming and His saving grace being declared. And so in our text this morning, Paul is sharing with us how Christ can be received as Savior. He's been revealed. He's been rejected by many. But yet He can be received. And this text this morning is one of the greatest texts in God's Word. It's one that we're very familiar with in the Romans Road. Many of these verses we use to help lead people to confessing Christ and trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, in our text, Paul's telling us how you must receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord by faith. And he's sharing with us two great truths about that. How do you receive Christ as Savior and Lord? Well, there's a couple things that has to occur. It begins with considering Christ as Savior before you can ever confess Christ as Savior. So I want you to look there in our text this morning and notice what Paul has to say about this road less traveled and how we can find it and how we can follow it. And it all begins by, first of all, considering Christ as Savior. Look in verse 5 through 8 of our text this morning. There we're finding, before you can receive Christ, you've got to consider Him as Savior. In verses 5 through 8, he's contrasting for us this righteousness based on the law and trying to keep the law with this righteousness that's based on faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As always, throughout this book, he takes us again back to the Old Testament. He takes us back to the Scriptures. He's comparing for us and contrasting for us, folks, the impossible task of acquiring righteousness and being made right with God by your own works with this indescribable gift of accepting this available righteousness that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus through faith. Now notice what he tells us about the impossible task of acquiring righteousness on our own. In verse 5, simple verse, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Paul is taking us back to Leviticus, to chapter 18 and verse 5, where Moses is sharing with the people of God about the covenant of law that God had given them and that they were entering into. He said there, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Paul reveals to us how this righteousness obtained by the law, it's a righteousness that can only be obtained by keeping the law perfectly. Moses made it clear. If you do this, you shall live. If you keep the laws of God and His commandments, you'll be blessed and you will live. You see, that's what the law based on the righteousness says. Do and live. But see, there's a problem with that. None of us can do and live. We're sinners and we fail and we fall short of the glory of God. And the point that Paul is making is this. It's an impossible task, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile or a church member, whoever you are this morning, hear me. It's an impossible task for you to make yourself right with God by keeping His laws and His commandments. Because there's no way you can do that. Paul quoted in Galatians and shared this truth in Galatians. If you're going to be righteous because of your good works and keeping the law, then you've got to keep every one of those laws. In Galatians 3, verse 19, he says this, or verse 10, excuse me, as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. In other words, righteousness based on the law, it demands perfection. That's why James said in his letter, James chapter 2, verse 10, whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. This righteousness based on the law, it demands perfection. So folks, here's what Paul is saying. If you're trying to get to heaven on your own good works and your own righteousness, you understand the only way you could ever do that is if you live in perfect obedience to every command of the law. Because all you would have to do to mess up and to miss out is to disobey one command and sin one sin. It is an impossible task for us to acquire righteousness and to make our way to heaven, to earn our way to heaven. That's the way of righteousness based on the law. That's the broad way that many are traveling today. But why would God give us this law and require this perfect obedience to the law if he knew that none of us would ever be able to keep it? Well, the Word of God's not silent. Paul himself is not silent. There's a couple reasons. There's many reasons God has given us the law. But here's a couple of them. One of the reasons he gave us the law, as he wrote in Galatians, was to help us see just how sinful we are. Look in chapter 3, verse 19. He said this, Galatians 3, 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. God gave the law to help us see just how sinful we are, to show us our transgressions and our need of a Savior. And that also leads to another reason. The law was a schoolmaster. The law was a teacher. The law was given by God to teach us we're sinners and we need a Savior and to point us to that Savior. Galatians 3, verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, it's not the law you must appeal to be made righteous before God. It is the Lord you have to come to. It's not in Moses that you're going to find righteousness in salvation. It is in Christ. It is in trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. Most of Israel were rejecting Christ. Many today are still rejecting Christ. They're trying to obtain righteousness based upon the law. But folks, it is an impossible task. It's an impossible journey. It's a road that will never lead where you think it's going. It always leads to destruction, to death. But see, you need to consider Christ as your Savior. Because see, there's a difference between righteousness based on the law and righteousness based on faith. This righteousness based on faith is an inexpressible gift. It's an indescribable gift. It's a righteousness that's available and accessible to every sinner. Look what he went on to say in verses 6 through 8. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Notice here in these verses, Paul is now, he's personifying this righteousness based by faith and presenting it as if it is literally speaking to us, which it does through the gospel. And it proclaims this glorious good news that while you can never obtain the righteousness of God through your works and keeping the law, the righteousness of God is available and it is accessible to every sinner who believes and trusts in Christ. Paul takes us back to Deuteronomy. He takes us back to Moses. In these verses, he's quoting and making gospel application of what Moses said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 through 14. Moses is preparing the people of Israel to enter into the promised land. He's giving them his farewell words and messages. He's not going to be allowed to go into the promised land. He's preparing them. And in that passage of Scripture, he's speaking about the commandments. He's speaking about the Word of God. And he's reminding them of what God told them in that covenant. If you keep my words, I'll bless you. You'll have life. But if you disobey, I will curse you. It will be death. And as he's encouraging them and sending them into that promised land, he's reminding them of this truth. It shouldn't be that hard for them because they have the word. They have the commandments. It's been made available to them. When they go into the promised land, they don't have to worry about trying to go up to heaven and get the commandments of God so they'll know what to do. God's already come down on the mountain, given them to Moses, and presented it to them. They don't have to travel across the sea to try and find the Word of God. They don't have to travel into the depths of the sea to search and find the Word and the commandments of God. You know why? Because God had graciously already given them those commandments, and those commandments were near them, in their heart, in their mouths. They had them available, accessible, that if they would follow those commandments, they would be blessed and live. Well, here's the gospel application that Paul is making of that passage. He's taking the commandments that Moses talked about, and he's replacing it with Christ and the coming of Christ and the revelation of Christ to us in the gospel. And what he's declaring is this: the same grace of God that gave us the Word of God that would show us our sin and our need of a Savior is the same God who in His grace has sent His Son to be our Savior and to provide salvation for our sins. You see, he's telling them this: you don't have to go up to heaven to bring Christ down. Here's the good news of the gospel: Christ has came down. He was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. That's what Christmas is about. That's what we're celebrating. We don't have to go up to heaven to try and get Christ to come down, folks. Christ came down from heaven to be our Savior.
Amen.
And you don't have to go down to the depths of Sheol. You don't have to go to hell, to death and the grave to be saved and forgiven of your sins. Guess what? Because the same Christ who came down from heaven in the incarnation, lived a perfect and sinless life on the cross, kept every one of those righteous demands of the law, and yet is our substitute, took our sin upon himself, took the wrath and judgment of God, died and went to hell for us, defeating death, hell, sin in the grave. He rose again in resurrection, power, and glory. And the word of the gospel, the word of faith that Paul preached, that I preach today, that every born-again Christian should be preaching today, is this glorious word of the gospel that salvation is now near to us. It is available to us. It is accessible to us. We don't have to do something that's impossible for us to do because Jesus has already done what was impossible for us to do. And He has provided for us this righteousness of God that if we would repent and we would believe, we would be saved. It's as close as our heart and our mouth. That's how close it is for a sinner to be saved. It's the good word of the gospel. It is the righteousness that is based on faith. But if you're ever going to receive Christ, you got to consider Christ. You got to consider whether you're going to try through an impossible journey and odyssey in this life to accomplish an impossible task for you, or whether or not you're going to, in faith, believe that Christ has done it for you. See, that's the difference between religion and a relationship with Christ. That's the difference between relationship based on the law and relationship based on faith. The law says do and live. Christ said I've done. Believe. Trust. So the sinner must consider Christ as his Savior if he's to receive Christ as Savior. And then once you consider Christ, you receive Christ by confessing him as Savior. Which brings us to verse 9 and 10. Which brings us to those beautiful verses in the Word of God that reveals to us this glorious truth of just how close and how available and how accessible salvation is to us. Verse 9 and verse 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Having considered Christ, to receive Christ, he must confess Christ. Verse 9 and 10 reveals to us just how simple it is to find the road less traveled. Just how simple it is to find the way of salvation. It's really not complicated. It's a way of faith. It's a way of trusting in Jesus. It's just simply a matter of believing in your heart, followed by confession with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and he has risen from the dead. Now I want you to understand something in these two verses this morning. In verse 9, his emphasis is on confessing Christ publicly as your Savior with your mouth. But in verse 10, his emphasis is on the conversion of the heart, the personal confession that has to occur in your heart in order to be saved. You see, you can't get confused on this. Just a public confession of your mouth does not save you. In fact, many have publicly confessed with their mouth, but they're not saved. As verse 9 and verse 10 reveals, there's got to be a connection with the heart. There's got to be a connection with faith. And so when he says in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's emphasizing that confession of our mouth. The reason he begins with the mouth, in verse 8, he's just talked about from Moses, the order there of our mouths and our hearts, the grace of God and the gift of God being. And so he begins with that order. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. But the truth is, it's the confession of our mouth that gives evidence of the conversion of our heart and of the faith that has occurred in our heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Folks, that's what the Jews refused to do. That's why most of Israel were lost. They would not confess Jesus as Lord. They would not confess he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He's God in them. They accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of being Beelzebub. They would not confess him as Savior and Lord. That's because they had not believed in their heart that Jesus was the Savior of sinners. And so he takes us over in verse 10, and he gives us the order of redemption to make sure that it's very clear to us. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, that's how we're saved. That's how we find this road less traveled. The reason we can confess Christ as Savior and Lord is because we, by grace through faith, have believed in our hearts that he is Lord and that he came and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and he is risen from the dead. Once you confess Christ as Savior and Lord in your heart, I want to tell you something. There'll be no problem confessing it with your mouth that Jesus and Jesus only is Lord. So as receiving Christ as Savior and Lord, it has to be a personal possession of faith in your own heart that leads to that profession of faith with your lips. So many times we see people walk an aisle. We hear people make a public profession of faith in Christ. But folks, if that's not connected to a heart of faith and confession and trust upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's not salvation. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Old Testament says, "This people, they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is when you in your heart, your being, your entire being, you come to grips with the fact that you're a sinner, and on your best day, no matter how good you try to be or how many laws you try to keep to please God, you could never be worthy of God. You deserve judgment and condemnation. But when you come to believe that Jesus came and died for you to provide for you something you could never acquire yourself, and you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, that will come forth from your mouth, from your life, from your being. It will affect everything that you say and that you do in this life because you are utterly trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation. No matter how far you fall short of the glory of God, no matter how many times you fail Him, it is your faith in Christ that acquires righteousness for you, not your works. That's how to find and to follow the road less traveled. That's how to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's turning from an impossible task that you could never do to receiving an accessible and available gift that's been provided for us through Jesus. Notice in verse 11 and 12 the conclusion of our text. Listen what he says. Having considered Christ, confessing Christ, look what the Scripture says. "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Now in the King James Version, we look at that and we want to relate it to what we just heard. And so we want to say, well, whoever believes, he will not be ashamed of confessing Christ before men. And folks, that's true. That's taught in the Scriptures. But here, that's not the application. Here, that word ashamed, it simply means will not be put to shame, will not be disappointed. This is a quotation from Isaiah 28, verse 16. It's the same passage he quoted at the end of chapter 9 when he was talking about how the Jews had stumbled over this stumbling block that Jesus was. He was given as a cornerstone. He was given as the rock of salvation. If they would stand on Him in faith, if they would believe in Him, the Scriptures revealed they would not be ashamed. They would not be disappointed. They would not be let down. They would be saved. But they stumbled over it because they wouldn't believe. And so Paul again is reminding us, whosoever confesses that Jesus is Lord, whosoever has believed in his heart that God has raised Him from the dead as the sufficient, acceptable sacrifice for the sinner, whoever believes on Him in faith, you will not be disappointed. You will not be put to shame. You will be that doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. He It only matters whether you're a sinner who's recognized it, repented, and believed. Look what he said in verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In other words, there's no distinction, there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. When it comes to the matter of sin, we're all sinners. We're all separated from God in our sin. When it comes to the matter of salvation, we're all saved the same way. It's not by the righteousness based on the law, it's by righteousness based on faith, through trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It all has to do with confessing Him and trusting in Him as your Lord and Savior. Receiving Him by grace through faith. See, this way of faith in Christ, it's a road less traveled, but it's the only way of salvation for sinners. Christ has revealed Himself as the Savior of sinners to Jews and to Gentiles. Christ has revealed Himself as the only Savior, and Christ can and must be received as Savior, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. When it comes to receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, would you consider Him and confess Him as your Savior this morning? That's the only way. That's the only way to find this road less traveled and to join those few that are heading to heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, may You grant by Your grace that someone find this road less traveled this morning, to move from the road of righteousness by works to a narrow road that leads to life and salvation, road of grace, road of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Father, it's not complicated. It's really quite simple. The only problem is the ignorance of our unbelief, our refusal to recognize our sin and our need of a Savior and to recognize Jesus as our only Savior. So, Father, would You grant that many today and in the coming days would recognize that truth and find victory in Jesus and experience Your saving grace. Lord, may it begin here in this church, in this community, with many loved ones, family and friends coming to know You. We'll be careful, Lord, to give You the praise and honor and glory for all that You accomplish and all that You do. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this morning this hymn of invitation. It's an opportunity to leave a broad way and to find a narrow way, the only way, the true way of salvation. Won't you come?